Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Okay, so hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you to make it clear how you want to do this. We ask you to make it clear what you're teaching. I have a sense of it, and I feel like you want people to walk out of here with a deepening of their relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I ask that it will just become clearer than it ever has been for all of us, in Jesus' name. So, years ago, God told me to teach activating the gifts of the Spirit. And I started these Sunday night meetings where I taught about activating the gifts. And it wasn't very long before I learned that that was a bad idea. Because what I was teaching was the mechanics of it, and not the relationship of it. And so people didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit as a person, and they were using the mechanics, and it was kind of turning into a bad thing because people were giving words that either weren't from him, or it just wasn't founded right. It didn't have the right foundation. So I pulled back for a while. But I knew that one of my purposes is to help people to find this. I found it because when I first got saved, I didn't know any Christians, and I actually didn't know that there were churches where people loved God, because the church that I had been in as a kid, they didn't know him any more than I knew him. They preached from the Reader's Digest, and they preached politics, and I don't think they knew Jesus, and I didn't know Jesus. So I thought that all churches were like that. And so when I got excited about God, I really didn't know there was a place you could go or be mentored, or I didn't know anything. I didn't even know there was Christian radio or Christian teachings. And so because of my ignorance, I knew enough to get a little New Testament, one of those little tiny New Testaments. And as I read it, it raised all kinds of questions in my heart. You know, I'm brand new, very unchurched. You know, I didn't know anything, and I didn't grow up in a home where I grew up hearing missionaries made fun of, Christians were mocked, Pat Robertson was mocked, so that's kind of the home background I had. So I met Jesus in a very real way, and I, being kind of ignorant, I would just ask him simple questions like a kid. And at the time I was not baptized in the Spirit, I did not hear internally. And so, but that didn't matter. What I quickly learned was, if I asked an honest question from an honest heart, within a day, usually, God would find a way to answer me. Now, I didn't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so I didn't hear God internally the way I do today. But what I quickly learned was, I was amazed by the fact that God wanted to have a relationship with me. Who am I? Why would God want to have a relationship with me? It's still a mystery. But I was amazed because the God of the universe cares so much for each of us. And it's just like if you have a little kid and he has an honest question. My dad used to take us out in the garage. He was a workman. He loved to putter, and he was really, really smart. And he would teach us how to do stuff in the garage. And he liked to do that. And our Father in heaven is the same way. He likes to apprentice us in the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit are totally foreign to earth people, right? We think according to the earth system, and that's how we know. It's the best we know. It's all we've ever seen, right? And so when we come into Christianity, we try to apply all those rules, and it's confusing when they don't work. It's confusing when earth rules don't work with heavenly things. And so I had tons of questions, very simple, very stupid questions, but it didn't matter what I asked. God would find a way, usually within 24 hours, and most often he would answer through the word itself, where I would read. But I remember I was spending a lot of time with him. I couldn't wait to get home from work to read my Bible and hang out with God. And I would ask a question, and maybe a question I asked last night, I would be reading, and it would just fly off the page and hit me in the face. And I was continually amazed by this. And so I'll just give you one example. After I was saved a few months, we'll say, I had met a person, and they said, that whole tongues thing is very, very bad. You know, don't get with those people. They're nuts. No, that's bad. And then I had met one person who said, oh man, that's like the best thing that ever happened to me and you need that. Well, what a lot of people do is they say, well, I think this person is smarter, so I'll listen to them. But I was very much like a little kid, very, very, very childlike. And I went to the father and said, so Chris says that and Dave says that. What do you think about this? How do you feel? Because who knows? Who's the only one that knows? Because think about it. Any doctrine you can always find completely opposing opinions. So who's the only one that knows? And I'm very simple. I want to know what God thinks about it. And so I remember saying to God, what do you think about this whole tongues thing? What do you think about this whole Holy Ghost thing? And the next day I'm reading in Acts and I saw that the promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. That's the promise. And I saw the scripture where Peter says, he says, this promise is to you, your children. Hey, you can make a second row. That's fine. We're just doing a circle because we might do an activation.
We can make a second
row. Yeah, second row's good. Is it too cool in here?
No.
That was a very definite no. Okay, thank you for that clarity. I'm with you, but can't go by me either. Okay, so we're talking about, just for those that just came in, I had asked the Lord, I was teaching them how when I was first saved, I didn't really know a lot of Christians. So I was much like a little kid, and I would just sit with the Lord and say, ask really stupid questions. And I wasn't filled with the Spirit. I didn't hear him internally. So what I found was God would still answer me. But he would either use the word or something that I heard. He would just find a way to get the answer to me. And so our relationship was based on this interaction that happened, this continual almost conversation. A conversation at one time might take 10, 12 days because I would ask something. He might answer me with a scripture and I would say, well, okay, but what about this? And I'd wait a day or two and here would come the answer and I would say, oh, okay, that makes sense. But what about this? Maybe I'd have a dream. And that conversation might take some days for me to, because think about it, if you have a friend and they're an expert in a sailboat, they've been sailing for years, they know everything about it, and you really want to learn it. You really want to learn how to sail and you want to be good at it and you're going to buy a boat. You're going to ask them questions, and you know, the first time they say it, you're kind of like, you know, maybe, well, what about that? How does this, you know, the wind's coming this way. How do you go that way? There's a mystery. So you might continue to ask questions until you get it. And that was the relationship. That's a relationship. And so when I was first trying to teach people the mechanics of hearing from the Holy Spirit, I found it didn't work very well because it wasn't based in the idea of a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't even understand that in the early days. All I knew was that if I asked an honest question, and I didn't worry about him answering me right this second. Don't worry about it. If you don't hear from God, that's okay. Just, you know, he will answer me. He'll find a way to get it to me. And if I'm too slow to get it, he'll find another way to get it to me. And if I don't get that, he'll send somebody else. He'll do it till I get it because he knows my heart, right? And that's our God. And so it's a relationship that is formed. And one of the things, when God was teaching me this stuff, remember, I didn't really have anybody to teach me. So he would teach me because I was asking him, how do I hear you? How do I hear you all the time? How do I understand better? How do I reconcile this with the word? So I had tons of very childish questions. And we would go on these long walks and God would teach me. And one of the things he said to me once, he said, people think that I'm like this. Imagine if you had a friend and you met them and you hadn't seen them in a year. And you met them at a coffee shop and you said, well, how are you doing? How's your family? He said, that's how my people think I am. They think I'm stoic, that I don't want to talk. He said, I would talk 24/7 to anyone that will train themselves to hear my voice. And so I've had people come up to me and say, I don't hear, or God, actually what they'll say is, God doesn't talk to me the way he talks to you. God doesn't talk to me. That is actually not true. He talks in a way that we don't perceive. So the issue isn't that God isn't talking. God talks all the time. God is always, he loves to teach his kids, loves like has a passion for someone that will just come and say, how does this work? So he began to tell me, he would just talk all the time, and he had to teach me how, because it's not how we do it in the earth realm. If I ask Lori a question, I'm speaking with this mouth and I'm listening with this ear, right? She might draw a picture on a physical whiteboard and I might see it and figure it out with this intellect. Because it's not in this realm, it's some people just say, well, I just don't get it. Or one lady said, I was talking to her about relationships. She said, well, I don't hear from God, so I can't have a relationship. And I realized she was thinking that everyone should hear in this prophetic manner of the still small voice on the inside or this gushing water. And I said, oh, no, I heard from God for years before I got the Holy Ghost or even knew who he was, because it's a relationship. And so as my relationship with the Father grew, I was amazed to find out not just that he loved me. Why would God love me? You know, I knew I was a mess. I had tons of baggage and issues, and yet he seemed like hanging out with me. And I think God wants to develop a personal relationship with us to the degree that we can ask him anything, even the hard stuff. You know, how do I deal with this thing that nobody knows about? How do I deal with that? He's so gentle and so kind, and he will always, I love the way he talks because he's so gentle. There's some things that are harder concepts that I would feel like, God, I know you've explained this to me 49 times. I'm so sorry, but I still don't get it. And you know what? He never gets mad. He'll say, well, let's try this way. How about this? And he'll give me a word picture. He speaks to me in word picture because that's easier. Little kids like pictures, right? And so he will talk in the language you understand. You know, so one of the things he wants every person to know is that this is a covenant promise for every single believer. And I think one of our problems is we single ourselves out. We say, well, I think that's for other people, but I don't have that gift. You do. You just don't know you do. And so what God taught me as I was walking along many long walks, asking questions, he began to teach me that it isn't that he hasn't given it. It's that we haven't understood his way of speaking. We haven't understood how to hear. We're still trying to figure it out with this mind and hear with these ears. We process through our emotions, but all of that stuff is actually in our flesh. That's our soulish realm, not our spirit realm. Okay. You might say, well, wait, isn't the soul the same as the spirit? No, because the word says the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In other words, knowing how to tell the difference between your soulish realm, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your flesh, your personality, and your born-again spirit. Okay? So if you're born again, you can hear from God, but we have to learn to go to his world to do it. And so that takes some training, right? Because how do we do that if we've never done it? And one of the first things God taught me is that if we enter a state of rest, you know, the one thing Paul says to labor to do, we labor in the flesh and we try to get it done and perform and be good enough. All that's garbage. The one thing we're to labor to do is enter a state of rest. And it doesn't mean don't work and don't carry stuff like in the Old Testament. That's a picture of the true Shabbat, which is something on the inside. There's a place on the inside. It's your spirit, man. It's in fellowship with his spirit, right? Because we talked about it last night. If you're born again, you're one with him in the spirit. You are one with him if you're born again. You know, you say, but how could I be? I make mistakes. Yeah, your flesh is still going to make mistakes. You're still going to have some thinking that needs to be cleaned up. You may still have some habits. You might still be in bondage. Does God love you less? No, he's encouraging you. Come over here. Come over here. This is where the freedom is. This is where the solution is. He already has the solution to every problem, every business problem, every knowledge problem, every doctrine, every relation. If you have a relationship problem with somebody, God already has the answer. And what I discovered is sometimes one sentence from him is the key to fix anything. So it's a much easier lifestyle. And so one thing he taught me, this is very annoying, by the way, putting that behind me. One thing he taught me was that if I could enter a state of rest, that's where he is, because now I'm fellowshipping with the Spirit. Whether I understand, even before I understood that concept, it was years before I understood it with this head. So one of the things he wants us to understand is there will be things you'll get from him that won't make sense at first. And if you have to filter everything through your reasoning, you will not hear God well. If you're saying, well, you know, I have a friend that said he was going to divorce his wife. And to be honest, I didn't see, I love the guy, he's a man of God, but I really didn't see kind of scriptural reason. And I'm not the judge of all the earth, I'm none of my business, but I said, now, he said, I really feel like God's saying to do it. And I said, well, how, tell me in what way is God telling you this? And he gave me all this logic. Well, she this, she that, I this, I that. It was all this human logic, reasoning, and emotion. That's not God. It's not. Sometimes God will tell you something and you have to, you do weigh it and you test it against the scripture. The surest way to be deceived is to have your want to bigger than wanting to do his will. We are drawn away of our own lust and enticed. People say, well, God told me to marry that person. Really? Because they're so cute? Now, he may have, but the way you will know that, I mean, you know, I thought God had fallen off the throne when he told me to marry Edgar. I thought, how could this possibly, this makes no sense. Everyone thinks we are crazy. It was so God. It was the best decision I ever made next to getting born again. But it made zero sense. And so, but by that time I was pretty developed in knowing, you know, having that inner witness of what's God and what's not. And so it isn't something, I think people think you flip a switch and you hear God or you don't. You either have it or you don't. No such thing. It's like any relationship. When you first meet someone, you kind of might have a little handshake. Hello, how do you do? You're not in their business and they're not in yours. You don't tell them your stuff, hopefully. And they don't tell you all their stuff, hopefully. But as you get to know them a little bit, maybe you kind of come to understand a little bit more. Then maybe you get to know him a little bit better. And, you know, at first, I didn't know Lori at all, just using this as an example. She never said two words. I didn't know her. Thought she was a little odd. A little odd. And she probably thought I was a little odd. But as I got to know a little better about her, I thought, oh, she has a perfect heart. She has had a rough past. She has a true heart. She's true-hearted. So, okay, this is someone I can fellowship with because I'm all about the heart. I don't care what your outsides look like. I don't care what your outsides look like. I don't care what issues you have. I've had them all. But if your heart is pure, I'm in. You know, I'm into that relationship. And so is God, by the way. And so, but then as she started coming over and she started serving and I got to know her a little more, but she was still ringing the doorbell to come in. But the day came when anybody remember the honeymooners? Y'all old enough to remember the honeymooners? You remember Ed Norton? It was very common for Alice to come home and Ed is in the fridge, right? Eating tonight's dinner, you know? And she comes in and there's his behind. Well, you know, that became very normal for us because once you know somebody well enough, they're like the family. And you expect them to be in the house. You're not surprised if they're in the house. They don't have to have keys. That is the relationship that the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus want to have with you, where that is the way your house is. That's the way your life is. And it involves trust because you have to trust him enough. If you still have fear over this thing is going to make God mad, then you don't know God. You don't know him well enough. God knows. Trust me on this. He knows what. He knows, he remembers our frame that we are dust. And he knew, Jesus knew when he died for us that all of us had all kinds of silly stuff to deal with. Every one of us has had baggage, luggage, issues, probably addictions. We've all had that stuff. And most of us in this room probably still do have some stuff. And you know what? He wasn't looking at that. You know what he was looking at? The real you. The amazing person, born again person that was going to be recreated, right, when you were born again. And I remember driving in the car one day saying, how can you love people so much? I mean, it's not that easy. We stink, right? I don't even like myself sometimes. He said this. He said, because I knew you when. He said, I don't see you the way you see each other. I see you as I created you to be. I see what you're going to be. I see you how you're going to look. I see you as glorious. That's how I see you. I'm aware you have a flesh. But I'm not focusing on your flesh. When I look at you, I'm seeing the real you. See? So that's easy to love, right? If we could look at each other that way, it would be easier for us to love one another and stop, you know, making wrong judgments, right, about each other and about ourselves. Stop judging yourself according to the flesh. Just fess up. My flesh thinks I got it. And it's okay to go to God and say, you know what? My flesh thanked today. Yeah, like I didn't know. See, God loves us in spite of us. And when you can get that, when you can get that relationship of knowing God loves me in spite of me, he loves me no matter what kind of day I'm having, good day, bad day, my Father loves me, then you can go in confidence and you can accomplish anything with the Holy Spirit. And so the covenant promises that, see, in the Old Testament, you did not have the right to fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the way we do. They didn't have that. The prophets, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they'd speak, and it says that they long to look into the things that we have. The prophets, Isaiah was prophesying it and wanting to look into how does that work? Because often when you prophesy, you don't really know the whole story. There's a thrilling scripture that says, how blind is my prophet whom I send? That just makes me laugh, because you know what that is? Sometimes you'll prophesy something, you know it's God, because you've been doing it a long time, you know it's God, but it makes no sense, and the person gives you the backstory, and you're like, oh, right, how blind is my prophet or my servant whom I send? Well, it says that in different places, it says that kings long to look into what we have. Prophets long to look into what we have. They were trying to understand it. They were prophesying it, but they didn't really get it. And the reason is it was a mystery that God kept hidden, because if Satan would have known it, he would have never crucified Jesus. Because the purpose was not just to forgive you and not just to give you eternal life. It was to fill you with God himself. Before that happened, you had to go find a prophet physically. If you wanted to hear the word of the Lord, you had to go find him, you know, get the ephod, right? Josiah and his gang had to go find hold of the prophetess to get the word of the Lord. He had the high priest with him. He had the secretary with him. Why couldn't they get the word of the Lord? Because in the old covenant, that wasn't given. But the promise to us is you won't have to go to your neighbor to find out what God is saying. Now, you will if you're young in the Lord and you don't hear from God yet. That's okay. But if you're alone on a desert island, you don't need, I'm telling you, you don't need some prophet to tell you what to do. You can go to God and say, you know what, how does this work? What do you want me to do? Or what do you think about this? Just wait. Don't worry about it. Just wait. God will find a way to get you the answer. So now fast forward in this relationship. He wants you to develop a relationship to the point where you're just so close to him that, let me share it this way. I used to have a canoe partner, and we got to be like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. We were living on the river. We canoed before work, after work, in the weekends, at night. We canoed every river in Illinois and most of them in Indiana and Wisconsin. And at first, it was kind of, you know, we just did our best. Probably made lots of mistakes. But after a couple of years of this, we were like one person. You know, we were like moving like one person. We knew all the signals. We had done it so much that we began to operate as one. Okay, that's probably the best example I could give. And what I can say to you is that's the relationship God desires to have with you, where you don't have to get in fear. Let's say something big happens and it's scary, right? Bad news or a scary thing, you know, something threatening. You never have to engage, because just go, Lord, what are you saying about this? You can avoid the whole conflict. Most trials never have to happen if you can develop your relationship enough. It's all about the relationship. Hearing, before somebody came, I was sharing that I started out by trying to teach people the mechanics of hearing, and it really didn't go well because people were using the mechanics without the relationship. That wasn't so good. And so most of you know my story. I went through 8 very dark years where I despaired of life, was in depression, wanted to kill myself every day. It was awful. And there were really awful things happening in my life. But God kept, every day, he would give me one scripture, maybe a vision, a picture. I had lost hope, right? I had lost hope that anything could ever be worked out, because it was pretty bad. Things were bad. Can't tell the whole story because it's just awful. But in that time, the Lord would basically kept me alive. He'd give me something to hold on to. What I did not know is the mechanics of that. After some years, I came across the book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. When I read that book, I began to realize that it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just the person of, oh, God told me. I realized that the Holy Spirit saved my life, literally, from suicide every day for 4 years, four of those years, by giving me a scripture, reminding me of my purpose, reminding me I was called. There's a reason you're here. There's something I'm doing. Hang on. And it was like, you know, if anyone has ever saved your life, if this has never happened to you, you won't know what I'm talking about. But if anyone ever physically saves your life, you just have a love for them. Like, no, you just can never, you just love them because they saved you. And when I realized that it was the person of the Holy Spirit, I just fell in love with, I'm like, you, it was you all this time. It was you when I wanted to quit. It was you when I was looking up the most painless way to kill yourself. It was you all this time. And see, I didn't understand the Holy Spirit. And in the church, I don't know that he's been described, but that book really helped me get it. And the way the author described it was, the Father is seated on the throne in heaven. Jesus is seated at his right hand. But who's here? It's the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended, before he ascended, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They didn't receive him right away, right? Then he tells them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But then he says, but don't go until you get the promise of the Father, the power from on high, the fire. Don't go till you get this power. So go, but don't go. In other words, you're not equipped until you get this. Now, they were already born again, right? So it's a second experience. When they got it, they were radically transformed. Peter went from being afraid, the guy who was afraid to admit he was a disciple, because disciples are going to be killed, to being the guy who was the boldest one on the street proclaiming the gospel. Thousands of people are getting saved. What must we do to be saved? They're cut to the heart, right? Same guy. Yet now what's happened? He's come into the fullness of the Spirit of God. And so this power that's in us is also, he's the most powerful person you know. He's also the gentlest person you know. And so he was given for the purpose of mentoring us into how to serve God properly, how to minister, how to teach, how to preach. Everything that I do, I had to learn, you know, A, B, C, because I don't know how to do any of it. And so like a little kid, I had to say, well, I don't understand. How can I hear you sometimes and not other times? And he would teach me, right? So we're going to do some activations. We're going to do some more, simple mechanical stuff about how to hear. But the main thing I want you to know is that you can become, over time, so adept at walking with him and hearing from him. And I can hear somebody in their mind going, I don't think I ever could. I promise you could. I promise you can, because you were made for this. You were created for relationship. There's some people that think they were created to do good works. They were created for performance. And that'll all happen, but it'll happen better when you learn how to do it out of relationship or out of a state of rest. Okay? Because as you enter that state of rest, and at first you can only do it. Remember when I was young, I'd have to be at home alone, had to be quiet, and I would sit with God and I could enter the state of rest and hear. But over time, you get to a place where you're standing in a room of 200 people and a kid is screaming and somebody's crinkling their cellophane and somebody's jangling their keys and you got to just shut it out and go, right? You have to enter the same state of rest. You just get better at it, right? You get better at it, okay? And so God wants what he primarily wants. Your entire function and purpose to please him isn't about what you do for him. You know, he doesn't really need, he can raise up rocks, you know, honestly. He doesn't really need our performance. He's doing that to let us be part of it and so that he can bless us, okay? He really wants to obliterate that. He created you for fellowship. And his favorite thing is just hanging out with you. Not for you to get it right or understand the most or be doctrinally brilliant, although that's all great. But what I learned was, if I will be faithful to enter that state of rest and hear from him and hang out with him and just learn from him, he will do everything else. I end up having more good works through a state of rest than when I tried to do it. So it's a different kind of lifestyle and it requires a different kind of thinking. You want to jump in there? Are you going to talk about strolling? I think you're better at that. Well, let me tell mine and then you tell yours. Okay. So I had come home from work one day, and by this time I was hearing God fairly well. You know, we could have long talks, you know. And that's something they don't tell you in prophecy school. You think a prophecy is a one sentence, you know, thus says the Lord, beep, beep, beep. But that's not how, well, that God can do that, and that's awesome. But God can teach you for an hour. He'll teach you until you go, okay, I cannot absorb anymore. This is awesome, and I'm just full to the gills. I want to hear this, but I need a breather. And he totally gets it because we can only, you know, because he's powerful, right? And so I'd come home from this really, really rough day at work, and I was frazzled, and my work was intense. I was a project leader, and, you know, you got a deadline and a budget, and you're in my mind, and I'm walking around the lake, you know. I had this lake I would walk around two times. It was about 40 minutes, and I would, my habit was I would go there after work, walk around twice, 40 minutes, and listen to God. I was learning how to talk. And I'm walking really, you know, did you ever try to walk slow when your mind is racing? It's hard to do. You're like, I'm walking really fast. I'm like, why am I not hearing them? Hello. And God said, I want you to stroll. Well, did you ever try to stroll and your mind is racing? It made no sense, right? But I thought, okay. And so I made my feet slow down. And here's what happened. As I made my feet walk slow, my mind was racing. And then it was like, ear, ear, ear. Within about five steps, I'm relaxed, I'm in a state of rest, and God starts talking. And we talked about 35, 40 minutes around that lake. And I realized the issue is, if you're in your head with the problem and the worry and the fretting and the thinking and figuring, you only can have one input source at a time. And that can be your mind, your thinking, your reasoning, or your screaming emotions, right? Or your will. I will do this. Or if you flip the switch into that state of rest, now you can hear from your spiritual side, okay? And so I kind of learned that I could on purpose flip the switch, you know? And at first it was like, it's like, did you ever see those kitchen doors that flap both ways? And let's say that one hasn't been opened in years and it's pretty rusty. That's how most people start with God, okay? And you want to get it open, so you're like, you know, and then you want to shut it. But then as you keep using it, it just starts to flow. And pretty soon it'll get stuck open, right? It can get stuck open where it's just open and you can just flow with him on a regular basis. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. Okay, so your turn. So for me, coming out of a works and performance mode, and I was like addicted to multitasking. You know, the more I could do, the better I thought I was, but really that's a lie. And so for me to slow down enough to hear the Lord speak, I still had to physically be moving because that was how I was train, so to speak, and I just could not lay on a floor and, okay, Lord, speak, because I'd be like, oh, I got to fix that light bulb, or, oh, I wonder how much paint they used on that, or what, you know, just weird thoughts. It was like I couldn't get my mind to come to a resting place. And so when Holly taught on strolling at one of her meetings, I don't know what the speed of stroll is, but mine is almost like non-movement now, but how it works for me is, and I'm actually going to demonstrate this because I think people need to see the visual to understand, and this may seem stupid to you, but that's okay. It actually works. And so for me, you know, when I would have, here's the thing, it's important to grow in the habit of always strolling, so to speak, always listening, but there's actually practical applications that you can do to grow this. And for me, you know, I would, when I'd get home at night, I was living in this neighborhood and I would walk the neighborhood streets and I'd have like the pressure. You remember I talked about that pressure, that oppression that I had, I could feel it on my back. And so you know, that thing kind of led me for a while, for a long time. But I would just say, Lord, you know, I'm just here today, and I'm just going to worship you. You're so good. I thank you so much for everything that you've done for me. And Lord, I really just, could you just answer? I just don't understand this question. And so I would be walking this slow, I guess strolling might be like this, but I would slow it down to the point of almost not walking. And when I would stroll, I actually talk out loud to the Lord. I don't care what people think, and now they think you have a Bluetooth in anyway, so you can get away with it in these days. In the old days, you know, I remember the enemy, they think you're crazy, you're talking to yourself, you know, those darts. But I found that it was best for me to speak it out loud because it singled the channel, so to speak. It was like when I would speak it out, and then I would just listen, and that still small voice would speak an answer. And my stroll became almost like a... like a no roll at points, you know, and if I was strolling and I didn't hear after I asked a question, there, this trust grew because he's always talking, and this trust grew that I know he's going to find a way for me to hear him. And I don't care where or how. And I'll tell you, some of the strangest places that he spoke to me would be when I'm brushing my teeth. You know, when you're doing that mundane and you're not even thinking about the answer, and then there he is telling you, or going to the bathroom, or taking a shower, or, you know, it was always when you least expect. And I wondered if that's because I'm the most open, you know, because I'm not trying to get the answer. I'm just brushing my teeth. I'm, you know, my eyes are barely open or whatever. And then there it is. So sweet. The still small voice, or the picture of the answer or the solution. And so that's what I have.
Amen. So one of the biggest things for me that has helped me, and I think one of the biggest problems that I've seen is sometimes people go to God and they say, tell me what you want me to do. And the not spoken part is, and I'll see if I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is when you have something you want and there's a question of obedience, Satan will happily oblige you, and you will hear a voice, okay? And it may not be God. And so I had a revelation at the age of 26. I had gotten saved at 15, didn't know diddle, lived like an unbeliever, but I met Jesus. I knew I met him, and I knew he was real. But I didn't know. Again, I was in a non-Christian house, didn't know what you were supposed to do with that, went to college, acted like everybody else acted in college. And I was giving God one area at a time and holding back other areas, okay? So first area I gave him was money, became a booming success. By the time I was 24, it was really rolling in the dough. And because I knew how to give that to God, that was okay. But other areas, maybe I would hold that back for me, right? And it wasn't very long before I saw a very clear pattern that any area I gave to him became a booming success. And any area I held back for me turned out to be a catastrophe. So at the age of 26, I had learned this one thing, and that is, he knows and I don't. And if I try to be the Lord of this, it's going to be a mess. But if I will let him truly be Lord, he is always going to do what's best for me, what's best for the kingdom, what's best for everybody, always, because that's who he is. And somehow that became a deep knowing in me. And so I got down on my knees for the second time in my life and said, from this day, you are Lord and I am not. And I'm making one decision, and that's it. I don't make decisions anymore. You are. But that put me in a predicament, because now I've got to hear his voice, right? I've got to, what are you saying? And the Bible is very clear about a lot of things, but do I live in Illinois or Nevada? Do I take this one or this job or that job? Do I marry this guy or that guy? Some of that's not written. So how do I find his voice? So that's what caused me to need his direction. But also, it has been the biggest help, because before I ever go to him with a question, such as a what should I do type of question, my mind is already made up that whatever he says, I will do it before I go. And that way, there can never be a deception, right? There's not a deception, because if he says the last thing I want to hear, I've already bound myself that I will do that. And because of that,
I've gotten to see him do things that made no sense and yet yielded great presence or glory or a salvation for someone. I've gotten to see the majesty of God. And so before I had made that decision, I remember there was a cutie patootie that I was dating, and he was really cute, and he had these blue eyes, and it would have been a horrible disaster. Horrible. Horrible. It would have been bad. But he was cute. I'm going to tell you that because my flesh wanted that, I saw it in every scripture. I saw it in every tree. Everywhere I looked, I got confirmation, by golly, he was the one. It was the worst idea ever. And see, because you hear what you want to hear. And so the surest way to avoid deception is to make sure that what you want to hear is the will of God. And that means you have to trust him. And that means you have to have a revelation that he actually does know more than you do. And for some people, that's hard. And so I finally made that decision when I had one little area I was holding back, this one little area, and it almost killed me. And finally, I was like, okay, you're right. I'm not gonna run this show anymore. And so I feel like that's the basic foundation. And I want to say it, you will grow and grow. Remember I said in the beginning that a conversation in the beginning might take a day or 10 days or a month. But as you grow closer in relationship to him as a person, it will be quicker and quicker. You'll get better and better at hearing. It's not that he talks faster. It's that you grow more adept at understanding the way he talks. And I'm still learning. There's times now when it's so fleeting, it's a thought. And then I'm like, I might miss it because it was so fleeting. There was something he gave me, this fleeting thought before we left. There was something I was supposed to pack. I had this, it was so fast. I missed it. I didn't bring it. It wasn't a day before I was like, oh, that was you telling me to bring that. I didn't bring that. That was really dumb. You know, I'm still growing and learning, because if he had his way, he would talk very fast. But we have to learn, so I'm still learning every day. I learn every day, right? You're never done, right? We're never done all the days of our life. I'll grow for the rest of my life in this. But we get to a place where we can almost like simulcast. I used to pray with this group of people, and there was one guy. He was a strange little guy, and people thought he was weird, but he was a phenomenal intercessor. And he was tuned in, and I remember, I'm telling you, this one night we were praying, and he and I, it was the weirdest thing. It was like stereo speakers. It was like simulcast in tongues, verbatim, exactly, even the pauses. It was the weirdest thing ever. But it was like, so if God's broadcasting, you know, I got to see what happens. You ever wonder why when God says something, there will be 100 people saying the same thing? You turn on some total stranger preaching. It's like, huh, that's just what my pastor said. You know why? Because God's speaking, you know, what he's speaking. Anybody who's tuned in will hear it. So God wants to develop his relationship with you until you're one. For years, I would never say, I was afraid to say, oh, if I talk about oneness with God, people will think I'm a heretic. And then I ran across the scripture that says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you can't say I'm a heretic. And what his desire is for you to become, you already actually legally are. If you're born again, you are one with him. But you, if you operate in the flesh, then you will never feel that, because you're more aware of the earth realm than the spirit realm. But as your focus changes to his world, he wants to teach you everything about his world. And it's not like he has secrets. He says, well, I'm not going to tell you, you know, I don't want to tell you this, you know, I'll just tell you this ABC stuff. No, God would like to show you the universe. God will tell you stuff about science. He'll tell you how he created things. He'll show you. God will take you on a tour of heaven. He wants you to understand his world. Do you ever know somebody that you're friends with, but they're not happy till they show you their house? They want to show you their stuff. They want to take you on the tour and show you, this is my library, right? God is like that. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his world. His world is vastly different than ours. And the rules are different. Things operate differently. God wants you to know that. I feel like I'm supposed to say this. In my town, there's this library it's huge. It's won awards. It's this amazing library, and I love the library. But what I didn't know, if you have a library card, you of course, if you don't have a library card, tough. You can go look at the stuff, but you can't borrow it. But if you have a library card, everybody knows you can take out books. But I began to learn that there were more and more things. You can check out art for a month and hang it on your wall. You can check out audio stuff. You can go into these research libraries people don't even know exist and do research. There's all these things available because you have the card. And when you're born again and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there is this endless supply of stuff in heaven that belongs to you the second your name is written in that book. All the blessings, how do you know what they are? Open the Bible and look at the blessings. That's why all of them are past tense. They have been given to you. And we say, well, see, because we're carnal or earthly, we're looking at the earth realm and say, well, that didn't work for me, or why don't I see it? Oh, you have it. It's just not here yet. It's in his world. Your name is on it. And if God, listen, I don't have a lot of heavenly experiences like some people do. Mine are a little different. But two times God has shown me the treasuries of heaven. And if you ever see them, you never look at money the same way again. You never look at it the same. It's so easy. Money is the simplest thing in the kingdom. Never have to worry about money if you get it. And he took me there. I was allowed to go in the temple. I have a passion for the temple of God. Don't know why. Just always have had. And I was allowed to go in the temple and see the treasury and see how things operate in the treasuries. They're vast and endless, and they're yours. And God desires for his people. I remember driving in the car and saying, you know, there's people who come against prosperity and there's people who preach prosperity. And I don't like the greed thing. And I don't like some of the attitude that comes with it. Well, I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. I'm driving down the road. I said, what do you think about this, God? I'd like to know your opinion on this. He said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the oil. All of it's mine. You know, the treasury bonds, all the stocks, I own all this stuff. And he said, and I would appreciate it if my people would begin to appropriate it for the gospel.
Amen.
I would appreciate it because, you know, I went to Reinhard Bonnke's breakfast and I said, how much does it cost to run a crusade in Africa? And they said between 800,000 and 1,000,000. You know why I asked? Because I want to be the one to hand them the check. Right? People have come against Brother Copeland. I said, oh, well, we don't like that faith stuff. We don't like that. Well, I tell you something. I was there when Reinhard Bonnke said, have you ever seen his speaker system? He's got to have something big enough for 1,000,000 people to hear. It has these, think about what that costs. So back in the 80s, I was present when Reinhard Bonnke said that he got that speaker system because Kenneth Copeland handed him $800,000, said, go get yourself a new speaker system. So you might say, well, I don't like him, but until you do that, you can't say too much. So, totally off the subject here. So for me, the mechanics of it, now down to the grits, you got anything you want to add first? Okay. For me, the mechanics of it are to, and when you first start, you want to kind of just shut out the world. You know, maybe find a quiet spot. Go away with God. If you have the ability to do it, go away somewhere with God. Even if it's go sit in your car. When I worked full-time and I had a really intense job, I would go sit in my car at lunch hour and I'd go park somewhere where no one can see my lips moving. And I would spend an hour just hanging out with God, just listening and speaking out loud what he gave me. And that's how you learn to preach, by the way. He said, I want you to say, he said, you know, Holly, how you, when you're in prayer and I speak a sentence to you, yes. See, before that, I would just listen and say, mm-hmm. He said, I want you to say it out loud. I said, even when no one's there, he said, yes. And I want you to do it and do it and do it and do it until it becomes as normal to you as breathing. And I want you to become so good at saying what I'm saying that you can do it to a gang on the street or the president of the United States. So it doesn't matter where you are, because I was terrified of people. I had the fear of man terribly. I was terribly shy. And you know, it's easy to hear from God alone in your living room, but one of the first places I preached, there was 200 angry people. They did not like us. They did not like healing. They did not like spirit-filled people, and you could feel the animosity. And you know what? I was able to just shut it and go, right? Because of all the years of hanging out with God and saying what he said, saying what he said, saying what he said. So the mechanics are you don't strive, no striving. No, what if God doesn't talk to me? Oh, will he talk to me? Oh, what is, you know, set all that aside. Relax in God. Just rest in him. And just quietly inside yourself, Lord, what are you saying to me? Or ask a specific question. Why am I having an issue with that? Or how do you want me to deal with that person that's mad at me? or how do I reconcile that relationship, or what do I do with this situation where the person hasn't received their healing? How do I ask him something, or just sit and listen? And you may or may not hear a still small voice. Jerry Savelle said something brilliant one time. He said, when you're learning to hear the voice of God, you get a journal, and if you're not sure if it's God, that's okay. Write it if he gives you something, whether it's a scripture or a picture, a thought, an idea. Most of mine, a lot of mine come in pictures. God talks to me a lot with pictures that tell a story. He said, you write it down and date it. You say, even if I'm not sure it's God, yep. And he said, you just keep doing that. In about 6 months, you'll look back and you'll be shocked at how much of it was God and how it foretold a lot of what happened in the last 6 months. And I thought that was a really good way to say it. So let's do a little activation. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask God's first word specifically and ask him if there's something that he would have us, either a word for you yourself, or is there something that would edify the group? And it can be something simple. We're just going to listen, and you may ask him, is this for me or is this for everybody? And we're not going to, you know, jump on you or pummel you. If, you know, don't worry about this, it's a safe place, you can make mistakes. But to grow, you got to do it, right? To grow in it, you got to do it. And some of you are experts. We have experts in the room who've done this a long time and here very, very well. And we have people who are growing. But what God really wants is for you to become an expert. Okay, so we're going to start with this. So, Father, we just thank you right now. I ask you for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and prophecy to speak to each person. And if you get a word, feel free to speak it out.
Amazing, all powerful, almighty architect of the universe. You are so worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise.
I'm just seeing this. I was seeing these keys dangling in the air, and I heard that they are business keys. They're keys to solutions for the expansion of business.
If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. I also feel to say that wicked means just twisted thinking, wrong thinking, not perfect God thinking, not perfect truth. Another thing you hear is stewardship, that we are ambassadors, we are citizens from heaven, and the Lord is wanting us to begin to live that way and to operate from that place and to just be obedient and put some things away so he can add some things. Just trust it, total abandonment. You're not thinking it's for this person or that person. Just surrender it and just let him have his way, and it'll happen. I feel like he just wants to do something.
feel like there's someone over here that has something, but you're kind of holding it. You're holding your tongue because there's a little tiny bit of fear and you're kind of, it feels like you're thinking, I don't think that makes sense. And quite often the word won't make sense to you. It's the recipient that needs it. So I want to encourage you, if you are holding it, share it, because we might need it.
I saw two things. I saw a light switch flip on, and when it flipped on, it's like everything inside you just started to glow. It was like this electricity or current going through you, and I heard the words, never the same. I saw the words activation switch, and then I also saw someone getting off of a boat on storing water, and the water just calm right when you stepped on the water.
I'm hearing foot, and then I'm hearing right foot, and if you have any issues with your foot, God's healing.
Give it another minute or two. Be bold. It's like somebody has a song, but they're like, I don't want to sing. Father, I thank you. I thank you that every person here is going to grow so strong in you, so strong in relationship. And I'm asking that every single one of us shift away from looking at things in the flesh, or looking at performance, or measuring themselves into your love being able to receive the love of God freely, being able to walk in relationship and know that God will help us with everything. He'll help us work all that stuff out. You know, he was reminding me of something he was talking to me about a few nights ago. I think Vicki and I were talking, and God was reminding me that he's often taught me about, compared the things of the Spirit to the Olympics. And, you know, we tend to, we see what the norm is, right, in Christianity, and we think once we are at that, then we don't go any further. But what he's told me is that in the Spirit, even though you may be in your 50s when you get born again, you may be wise in the things of the world and very smart, in the Spirit, you actually still go kind of through the grades, right? You have to learn about the things of God, like a kindergartner, first, second, third, seventh, eighth, high school, college, PhD. You grow, and what I think a lot of people do is they either say, well, I'm good at what I do, so I quit, or they say, I'm not like the others, I can't do what they can do, and they quit. But I feel like God really wants you to know that every born-again believer, every single born-again believer has the capacity to grow to a place where they can be mightily used of God in simple ways. And the example that God keeps reminding me about is one of the men in South America that is the most greatly used of anyone in South America is a man with Down syndrome. When he lays his hands on somebody, they come into full revival, like powerful, powerful things. And the reason is he knows how to fellowship with God. And God has given that to every believer. And so if Satan wants to convince some of us, well, yeah, but not you. You know, you have that problem, or you have that problem, or you don't have the same gifts as that person. And the way God doesn't look at it that way, the way he looks at it is he purchased this already, bought it, paid for it, and gave it to you. Now, whether you ever walk in it or not, that's up to you. That's up to you. And God will not be mad if you don't. Your life will be harder, but God will not be mad. He loves you no matter what. But God desires, he passionately yearns for your fellowship more than your works. And you know, I recently read a scripture in Ezekiel that stunned me, and it talks about that God's heart was broken because his people wanted other things than him. And I looked it up, and that word actually meant his heart was shattered. And sometimes I think we go after things we think he wants, and in the process we are avoiding him. You know, sometimes we go after getting things done or learning the most, or, but really what he wants is you. And the example, as we were talking about different levels of growing, he reminded me, some of you might remember years ago in the Olympics, I think it was 1972, there was a little tiny Russian gymnast, and her name was Olga Korbut. And until Olga Korbut showed up, no one would have even considered that you could do a backflip on the balance beam, because it's 4 inches wide, but actually slightly less because the edges are curved. So she did a backflip in the air and landed on her feet. And when she did it, I think the whole world gasped, because no one thought that could be done. But here's what God reminded me. After that time, it became fairly commonplace for Olympians to do it. Now think about it. Is that because athletes became better athletes? Or did Olga break the limits off our thinking? And what God wants us to know, what he told me is you can go as far as you want in the realm of the Spirit. You can learn, you can have the wisdom of God. He has not limited us. He doesn't ever want to limit us. It's us that limits us. We have self-doubt. We have wrong measures. God hates a false measure. And so because of it, we say, well, I don't think God wants that for me. He does. God wants you to be so used of God that you walk in power all the time. You say, me, yeah, you. Yeah, you. And so we don't, you know, a kid in high school gymnastics doesn't generally think about going for the Olympics, right? They limit because, well, I'm not good enough. But in the spirit, we are all made the same. No one is made less. Even the guy with Down syndrome was not less. He's not. So God's trying to help us understand there is no measure. There's no limit of how much you can be used. Now, you will be used differently. Everybody's got, will tend to flow because of their calling, will tend to flow more in certain gifts, right? If you're an evangelist, quite often you'll tend to flow in miracles, right? There, because that's the dinner bell to salvation, right? So different, you might be more prone to certain things because of your personality type and your calling, and that's okay. So we won't, no two of us will look the same. But your job is to look like the fingerprint of God, right? You are one facet of his personality. So you won't look like me because I'm another facet of his personality. But if we stay in kindergarten, we don't have to. We can keep going. If everybody around us wants to stay there, just keep going. Just keep going. Go in your room, shut the door. Go in your room, shut the door. Lord, what are you doing now? Teach me. I don't get it. Teach me. I don't get it. And he wants to raise you up to the place. And I feel like, you know, it was actually hard during the moment of silence. I'm sure it's hard for other people too. It's really actually hard to keep my mouth shut because I can feel the passion of God to call you into a different place. You know, I could feel his desire to bring you into his world, into his throne room, into his temple in the heavenlies, to show you the things of God, to show you the mountains of God, let you hear the music of the heavens, show you the way things work in the kingdom. Once you see it there, it's so easy here because we are in his kingdom, but we haven't understood how to manifest it on the earth. That's why Jesus was so good at what he did. He was hanging out with the Father all the time. He understood the way it flowed in heaven. So when he said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, he can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing, he was giving us the key to how everything works. Everything. It's how everything works. Do you have a business problem? Go visit God. What's up? What do I do? How do I do that? I'm having a problem with this person. I'm having a problem with this sermon. I'm having a problem with my toe, whatever. How does it work in heaven? Show me, teach me. Because he wants us to become very adept at moving in his world while being in this body. That's what Jesus did. He was heaven on earth. And whether you know it or not, so are you. You're heaven on earth. And the whole creation groans, right? Waiting in earnest expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. What are the sons of God? Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Amen? Amen. Got anything else?
I do.
Okay. Oh, good.
Some of you guys are getting antsy, but I feel like I need to just share a couple things. I remember sitting in these activations and actually hating them and thinking, okay, I'll close my eyes and I'll listen from God and I'll be like, I hear Taco Bell, you know,
and hearing it right now,
you know, and this is like a push-up. What we did today is like a push-up. It's hard. If you've not done a push-up, it's hard. And it's training the flesh to be subdued and the spirit man, the spirit muscle to be strengthened and lengthened and fully alive. And so, you know, if you got the word Taco Bell, you know, chances are it was your flesh, but it might not have been. You know, you might be supposed to go there and witness to somebody, you know, so never discount. But here's what I want to say. I, you know, sometimes I remember sitting in these things and thinking, oh, man, I'm over here. The door's over there. They'll see me get up if I want to leave. You know, all this dialogue going on when I'm supposed to be hearing the voice of God. And all I can think of is getting out of here. And, you know, so I know there's a few of you that were struggling with this because the Lord's reminded me. And actually, I saw the enemy trying to cap and keep capped. what God has released. And so I want to encourage you, because I know there's going to be a few that leave here and go, I had a word, but I was too shy to share it. And the enemy's job is to kick you and beat you and say, you blew it, you bad person. And as I'm actually seeing Tweety and Sylvester at that moment, you bad kitty cat, however it goes. But here's the thing. This is practice, and every day you get to practice, and there's no time limit. But we have to come into a place where we grow in hearing the voice of the Lord. And we've talked about this for years, that we need to master this now before we need to master it. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's so easy to call a friend and say, hey, what's the Lord saying about dinner plans tonight? Or what's the Lord saying about my life? We you know, Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide us in all truth. And I kept getting that scripture, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It doesn't say acknowledge your friend, and your friend will make your path straight. You know, we need to learn the spiritual muscles of acknowledging him. And there's a lot of trust that goes into this. And there's a lot of blowing it along the way. But these are safe places. And so I just want to encourage you, if you didn't release the word, it's not too late. We're still here. And we'll listen. And if you're still too shy, I'm praying for a breakthrough, for that cap of limitation to come off you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen?
And let me just say this. It is perfectly normal as you grow and learn. There will be times you'll miss it, and that's actually how you learn. Don't look at it as, oh, I missed it. Look at it as, oh, training. Yeah. Hallelujah, I missed it. Glory. It's totally normal. It happens to everybody. It happens to the best of them. It's not sin. You're doing your best. I remember going to the Lord way long time ago and saying, I need you to train me to hear your voice. I need to know it's you. I need to know it's accurate. And he took 2 years of my life, and I made tons and tons and tons of mistakes. But if I would have quit, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. I wouldn't be able to do anything. But somehow there was a grace. It had to be his grace on my life to just say, I got to have this. I'm going to just keep going. Yep, I screwed up. Yep, oops, screwed up again. Whoa, screwed up again. But that's how will you know? When God first started talking to me, I would think, that cannot be God. That's got to be my flesh. Is that the devil? Is that me? And that's very normal, because how do you know if you don't know? And the only way you know is to say, well, okay, I don't know if that's God, but I'm gonna act on it. Because what he'll do is he's not going to start you with earth-shaking things that will kill someone if you miss it. He'll start you with little things like go to the McDonald's. Can't be God. Go to the McDonald's. Can't be God. Right? And as how I learned was, a little, he turn right, turn left, go here, and then a divine encounter would happen. And I'd be like, oh, that was God. That wasn't me. That was actually God. Shocking. And then the next day we'd do it again, and the next day we'd do it again. And sometimes I would blow it. I'd think, that couldn't be God, and I wouldn't do it. He'd find a way to show me what would have happened if I'd have obeyed. Not to condemn me, but to go, see now there, Holly, that was me. It's a training. It's not a condemnation thing. How could you know? How could you possibly know? We're people of the flesh if we don't learn from him at his feet. How would we know, right? So don't be so hard on yourself, right? But do care about accuracy, because you don't want to hurt people, right? And, you know, you don't want to hurt people with a word, because sometimes people hang their whole life on a word they got, right? And it's okay to make a mistake, but we've seen people that didn't care, right? And they gave these great, glowing, flattering words to be seen of man. And I don't ever want to see that, because it does damage to people. It hurts people in the body. So work at it till you get accuracy, right? It takes a while, but that's okay. Okay? God loves you. Every single one of you is called to something. I could actually name some of your callings. Don't give up on yourself, because God's never going to give up on you. Okay? Hallelujah.
Newcomers.
All right. Hallelujah. We love you. We'll see you tonight.
You should see if there's any questions.
Oh, that's a good idea. See, she always thinks of the good.
Any questions?
There's any. You're free to leave if you want to leave, but if you have any questions, we would be happy to help if we can.
Seems like, I think just last year, I kept, I would be at a grocery store, and I would stop and look at something, and I'm like, whatever. I'd get home, and that's exactly what one of the my family members, and it happened like four times. I'm like, okay, so I need to, because I'm like, why am I staring at a bottle of ketchup?
Yeah, look at that.
And but it's so then I get home, and it's like, Mom, did you get some ketchup? Because I'm making, you know, Sloppy Joes or whatever. And so I just know that was the Holy Spirit.
Yes, what a great example.
Yeah, and one area that without, gosh, with very high whatever is I do, the Holy Spirit shows me how to find things. Like if anybody loses something, and, you know, and if I look without praying, I'm with them. But as soon as, you know, but I do.
That's like a call for
awesome. There's some really simple ways too to practice hearing God. One is my husband and I used to sit in church, and when they would take the offering, we would both listen and say, how much? And what, you know, if every week after week we would both get the same number, and it was an odd number. And so after a while you start to go, well, that must be God, because there's no way we could have come up with that, right? In the store, there was a time when I had no ministry except to help a couple of ladies who were single moms. They had kids. And God would, and I didn't have a ministry, but I had a job, so I had some income, and they didn't. And God would have me walk through stores, and he'd say, two of those, four of those, one of those, and some odd stuff. And I would think, okay. And I didn't know if I was hearing from him, but then they would tell me the story. I'd get there and say, hey, I needed that, you know. And that helped me grow in confidence of, oh, that was you. I'm not nuts. And there's going to be a lot of those. Anybody else? Questions, feedback, comments?
Bless you.
Yeah. I know when I give words to people, I just tell them, hey, I'm practicing. If I get it wrong, like, feel free to let me know. That way I have, like, feedback to write in
of
whether or not I'm
on. That's really good. That's really good. And I kind of like to just, you know, even when you've been doing it a really long time, some words are like, when you know, and some words are like, what? Did you say that? And you're not as sure. And so I never just come barreling in like, thus says the Lord. I'll just sort of gently say, you know, I had this picture, or I had this thought, or I caught, does that mean something to you, or does that make sense? And sometimes I'll give them like one, sometimes I don't have a whole sentence, sometimes it's a word, you know, a single word. Like one guy from the islands came in and I heard building, and I'm thinking, is there more you'd like to say about that? Because I don't know this guy, he's a total stranger, I'm not going to say that. The Lord just kept saying building. So I said, sir, is there something about a building? He goes, yes, we're believing for a building. I'm like, okay. And then God gives me the vision, the whole story. I see a dirt road leading north out of town. There's a building on the right. He goes, that's the building. He goes, we just marched around it seven times. And I said, the Lord's given you that building. But see, if I had held that, because I was, who's going to make sense of building? Yeah. We wouldn't have had that whole interaction. So it's okay to kind of watch their face, listen to what they say back, because they're the best judge of the word, not you. You don't know what you're doing. Right? You don't know for sure. You can do it 100 years, and you're still going to have times when you're like, is that really you, God? You're not always 100% sure. So you watch their face, listen to their feedback, because you want to know that you're accurate. If I find I'm not accurate, I'm backing off, and I'm going to spend time with God till I get it right, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. That's good. All right. We love you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.